to Market Unplugged, a CNBC TV 18 podcast.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to Markets Unplugged, the weekly podcast on all the action in the stock market during the week and the key things to look forward to in the coming week. I'm Santosh Nair, and with me on the show is Prashant Nair, National News Editor, CNBC TV 18. Hi, Prashant. Good to have you here with us.
It's always great to be here, Santosh.
So, Prashant, the Nifty has been fairly range-bound during this week. So, what are you making of the market?
I mean, 4 weeks in a row, Santosh, now. So, the Nifty has been in a range of about 15,900 to about 15,400, 500 on the downside. And, the constant week after week after week up move that we had seen, that has kind of stopped now. That does make one wonder whether we have kind of seen, the best in this particular phase. The weekly up moves sort of ended in early June, and since then the index has, for the last 1 month or so, the index has not really gone anywhere. But I would still give the benefit of the doubt to bulls and the bullish kind of view, and I would say that as long as the Nifty kind of keeps its head above the 15,500 kind of zone, and this is the support zone, the lower end band basically, the original breakout which we saw in June, that kind of should continue. Targets are 16,200, 16,300. So that's something that you'd want to watch out for. So, I would say keep an eye out on this 15,400, 15,500 broadly. And as long as the market, and it is above that level by about 250 points or so, but if that is held, even though the price action on the Nifty for the last couple of weeks has been grinding, I would say this eventually goes higher than lower.
And interestingly, mid-caps seem to have done well despite the main indices being under some kind of pressure.
They have, Santosh. So if you look at the market breadth, the Nifty is down about 0.8% this week. The small cap index is up 2%. The mid cap index is up, about just under 1% or so. So the broader market has done better, but market breadth, which was really exploding in prior weeks when the market was going up, that has kind of subsided now. We are talking about advances to decline separated by 150, 200, 200, 250 stocks every day. It's not bad. And there is outperformance in the broader space, but one does get a sense that that is also now slowly starting to narrow down to fewer and fewer names. And I'm talking about, things which are doing exceptionally well in the mid and small cap parts of the market.
So the most common explanation is that liquidity still remains very strong. But what about valuations, Prashant?
Valuations remain on the upper, maybe in the 95, 96 percentile, if you look at a long-term average, absolutely no doubt about it. And more and more people have started to worry about this, almost this narrative which people have built that, if COVID-19 could not kill businesses, and that is true, especially when people make arguments for small caps, right? Small caps and mid caps. They say, these companies have survived something like COVID-19, so nothing can touch them now. And that's showing up in valuations for the mid and small cap parts of the market as well. If you analyze, sector-wise, for mid and smalls versus large, in majority of the cases now, valuations in the smaller group of stocks is much higher. The smaller market cap stocks is much higher. That kind of flies in the face of logic because, if you've learned something from COVID-19, it's the fact that, the larger have gotten even larger and they are in a much more advantageous position. So while things have looked very, very good for mid and small caps, the fact is that, these are companies which have lesser maneuverability in terms of financial operations. Oil prices, for example, are at about $75, $76. Will that start to hurt pricing? Will they be able to pass on, increase in input costs and all kinds of other issues? So I would say you're at a point where things are looking pretty rich, and it would take a bit of a stretch of imagination to justify meaningfully high valuations from here even still.
And lots of initial public offerings set to hit the market, Prashant, and conventional wisdom says that when there are too many IPOs, indices tend to stay range-bound or could even be under pressure because of money moving on to newer issues. So what's your take on that?
It should be the case. You know, so I mean, I just counted the numbers. There is no way to exactly say what is the amount of issuance which will hit the market, which will open for subscription. Because if you just count the number of companies which have been given SEBI approval, I mean, that list is much longer, but we are concerned about what is hitting the market in the very near term. So I counted IPOs which will raise about 24,000 crores in July. I mean, just for some context, between January and June, that's the six-month period this year, in total, in aggregate, I mean, companies, Indian companies, IPOs raised 27,400 odd crores. In July, we're going to see supply worth 24,000 crores. So, you know, and 24,000 crores by far, of course, is, you know, the biggest single month fundraise ever. But does that mean that the market corrects sharply or something? I mean, I actually went back and looked at the past five instances. I mean, five of the biggest months going back the last 20 years to see what does the secondary market, the Nifty, do in the near term after very large IPO issuance has come through. And I mean, you know, there is no, it's not a one-way answer. You know, three times the Nifty post large issuances in a compressed time frame, three out of five times the market was actually higher, not meaningfully. Only once in one instance the market was up meaningfully, the other two times the market was about 3% higher. Two of the five times, five instances I looked at, the market was down. One, the market had lost about almost 12-13%. The other one was small, about a 2-3% cut. So, I mean, it's not, I don't think this particularly gives us an idea in terms of what the market will do. But it's fair to say that, I mean, one should limit the enthusiasm to expect very large gains, at least in the near term, at least in July or maybe, you know, over the next 1 month or so. But I wouldn't bet on the fact that the market does, it takes a huge dive or anything just because of that, just because of the primary market size.
So Prashant, pharma stocks did pretty well this week, and the pharma index has been the best one among sectoral indices. So any particular stocks that investors should keep an eye out for?
I mean, 3.25% higher for the Nifty Pharma Index this week, Santosh, and it is by far the best performing sector. I mean, the stocks are the same, and we've discussed some of this before. I mean, you could divide this into two clean buckets. One is, you know, companies which benefit from, you know, COVID-19 related treatment, I mean, drugs used in the treatment of COVID-19. And, you know, you'd find companies like Glenmark, Cipla, Cadila, Dr. Reddy's, etc. in that particular bucket. And, you know, there are various estimates which suggest that for the full year, that is FY22, you know, these companies will see anything between 5-15% of their sales and actually operating profits also coming from COVID-19 linked sales. The other basket is companies which have got exposure to the vaccine opportunity. And I've mentioned these names before as well. There is Cadila, there is Dr. Reddy's, and then there is Cipla as well. So, and you know, these stocks have done well in the last week, and you know, technically also the stocks are looking in a much better frame as compared to many other sectors now.
And what about steel, Prashant? That's a sector that we have been discussing regularly for the past many weeks now. How does the story now out there look?
So steel stocks went sideways, did correct, did pull back 10-15%, then they started to come up. But they've started to come off once again. I mean, actually, especially Thursday and Friday of the week gone by, names like Tata Steel, etc., have corrected a little bit. There is anticipation that maybe we will see a steel price cut in July. And we should get to know that when we come back next week, if that actually happens or not. But I just like to say one thing. You know, the first quarter EBITDA per ton for names like Tata Steel, Steel Authority, JSPL, etc., is roughly 30% higher than what consensus full year FY22 estimates are. I mean, that is meaningful. So everyone, I mean, in the analyst community is pretty conservative. Just one more instance, example I'd like to quote. this, you know, analysts are estimating, if you look at FY23 estimates, right? I mean, 1 year out, EBITDA per ton, estimates are about 50% lower than what they themselves were expecting for Q1 of FY22, right? Which itself is a conservative number, as I just pointed out.
Okay.
And I think one reason for this is that over the last, 10, 12, 15 years, since actually the global financial crisis, steel stocks have failed to surprise positively for more than a couple of quarters just, right? So that's I think there is a fair bit of skepticism that this is it, this is the peak and things will start to fade. And there's a fair bit of recency bias as well, because I mean that's what steel stocks have done. But I mean, if this cycle is longer, this is the global sector, if this deflation trade is here to stay, especially led by the West more than China, then beyond whatever happens to prices in July, maybe there is more upside to go. So, you know, if there is a price cut, maybe stocks pull back a little bit. But I would say one should look at this particular space with a constructive lens. Santosh.
Okay. And Prashant, any specific stocks to be kept in mind for next week? What are the key events and trends that you'll be focusing on?
Just a couple of them, Santosh. So watch out for Info Edge. I mean, the stock actually did very well in the week which went by. I've got the returns here. Info Edge was up 8%, actually, 8%. And it's done very well through the course of this year. There is the Zomato IPO, which I think will keep investors hooked, even compared to what we knew earlier. I mean, if you look at Info Edge and the valuation at which they raised the last round of funding as compared to what we now hear they're asking from the market in terms of evaluation, there is a big gap, positively. So watch out for that name going into next week. Tata Chemicals moved up about 8% this week, Santosh. No particular reason or anything, but it was sideways, flat for some time, looked very, very ranged, and it's broken out on strong volumes, especially on Friday. Watch out for diagnostic companies, Dr. Lal in particular. It's done well this particular week. We had the PharmEasy ThyroCare deal, which happened early on in the week. And, you know, in the primary market, you're going to see two diagnostic companies raise money. And often what happens is, as in the case with Zomato, InfoEdge, etc., what happens in the primary market does rub off on already listed players. So we'll see, you know, what kind of valuation these new-to-market companies are demanding. So just a bunch of names to keep in mind.
Well, thank you so much for sharing those insights with our listeners, Prashant, and hope you have a good weekend ahead.
Thanks very much, Santosh. Great to be here.
And that's all that we have in this edition of Markets Unplugged. Thank you for listening.